Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. So, we're going to jump off into this. I want Nez to kick it off because we had a little back and forth with Tom Waddle from Waddle and Sylvie from ESPN.
Yes, we did.
But it started off because you called in one day, right?
Yeah, I called in earlier one day this week. I think that was probably a Tuesday I had called in. And got to talking to him, you know, because I basically called in because I heard Tom Waddle and Sylvie, his buddy. I heard him say that the Bears roster has drastically gotten worse. Let that sink in for a minute. Drastically gotten worse with the departure of Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack. Let that sink in for a minute. You know, I called into the show, and as I called in on ESPN 1000, you know, I called into the show. You know, we all know the number 332-3776. Called in, and you know, they threw me right on. You know, and talked to him, and I'm like, guys, you know, I'm a little disappointed in hearing you say that the Bears roster has gotten drastically worse with the departure of Mack and Robinson, and before I could even state my reasons, they jumped on it and, oh, how is it worse? Oh, it is worse. And, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Oh, they wouldn't let me get my point across. So, you know, me being the being a social media influencer that, you know, one third of the Three Kings that we are, we went to Twitter. And if you won't let me get my point across on your show, I'm going to get it across on Twitter, because I'm just going to keep adding you with facts. And so I was dropping fact after fact after fact after fact after fact. And then Waddle finally responded and stated, you know, he's not pushing a narrative, and you know, when I called into the show, they showed me respect. Nobody said anything about disrespect. It's just the fact that if I call into your show, you allow me to say my piece, and then you give a rebuttal when I'm done. That's how a conversation works. A conversation doesn't work when I say one thing that you disagree with, and then you jump on it, and then don't let me finish my point. Anybody that called the Three Kings show, we let them get their point across whether we agree or not. Am I right or wrong, fellas?
Right, 100% right.
Yeah, they're gonna be able to talk. You're gonna get your conversation in. You're not gonna overtalk us.
Absolutely.
And you know, we pay respect to, you know, when people call with respect.
Facts. So that's, you know, and that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? So I kept saying multiple times on the show, let me finish, let me finish, let me finish. They wouldn't let me finish because if Waddle ain't saying something, Sylvie saying something. If Sylvie ain't saying something, Waddle saying something. It's like, yo, can y'all let me get my point across? So I couldn't. So, okay, what I did was I went to Twitter and I start bringing up facts that Pringle had a better catch percentage than Allen Robinson last season. The fact that Robert Quinn had 18.5 sacks, and out of those 18.5 sacks, 13 came of them. 13 of those sacks came after Khalil Mack. So, given the fact that Khalil Mack only played 7 games and Allen Robinson was only present for roughly 3 out of 17, you know, given his, I think it was 433 receiving yards and, 3 touchdowns probably?
Yeah, one.
Okay. Well, I gave him 2 too many. 1. So, you know, I'm like, how does the roster get worse when the production of the two players that exited weren't that great? Are we still caught up on 2018, or are we talking about present day and time? I don't give a damn about what they've done for us previously, because in the NFL is what have you done for me lately? And as Unc Shea Sharp always say, you only as good as your last tape that you put out. And that's the honest to God truth. And the last tape that they put out weren't that well. For, in Allen Robinson's case, wasn't that good. In Khalil Mack's case, I think he at the time he went out, he had probably what, 6 or 7 sacks at that time.
Yeah, he was doing pretty good.
He was doing pretty solid, right? So, but you know, he ruled it out. You know what I'm saying? And really, Khalil Mack, you know, at that point in time, he was getting double and triple teamed or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So he'd get a sack, but it wasn't like we need this sack. You know what I'm saying? With like. In moments where we needed to have it, right? I give him that. I'm not going to call his sacks garbage sacks. I would never disrespect Khalil Mack like that. But his impact was sorely missed going throughout the year. I think when he went out, we were sitting at the 3-4 mark. It's not his fault. But, you know, we expected him to be the game wrecker that he was in 2018. And 2021 season, he wasn't giving us that, even though he still went out with 7 sacks in 7 games after 7 games. So he was averaging a sack a game. That was solid. He could have messed around and got 17. Who knows? If our record would have been a little bit better, who knows? But we can only go off of what we have here. So Khalil Mack missed 10 games, and Allen Robinson gave us what he gave us, right? He was done with the Bears due to the contract situation. So again, addition by subtraction. You know, we're not saying that the defense is better, is more talented without Khalil Mack. We're not saying that. But what we're saying is, how did they get worse when they played 10 games without him? Same thing about the offense. The offense as a collective, we're not talking about one sole wide receiver. But then again, if anything, we're for par. And if anybody knows about golf, it means that you're even when you say par. And the reason why I say that is because the same production that we were getting from Allen Robinson, his, you know, 1,000 to 1,100 yards, we got it from Mooney this season. You know, 10,066, 6 touchdowns. The previous season, I think Allen Robinson put up 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. So that's damn near for course on that, right? So how did they get worse? They didn't. If anything, they went for par. And the reason why I say that is due to the fact of the receiver room. Again, per individual, Allen Robinson, yes, is better than everyone on that roster as an individual. But as a collective, we replaced Goodwin. Godwin. We replaced Godwin. We replaced
Goodwin.
Okay.
No, it was Goodwin.
Okay. Who's the guy that Dan can't stand from New England?
Birdman.
We replaced Birdman. You know what I'm saying? I mean, both of those guys were 5'10".
They weren't even 5'10", bro.
Yeah.
He couldn't 5'8". Yeah, you know what I mean?
He couldn't stand that, you know. And then we had practice squad receivers on the roster actually getting serious playing time. And we swept that clean, but we missed Allen Robinson. Okay. That hurts. Don't get me wrong. His production will be sorely missed. But what production did we get out of last season? Again, due to the contract. So previously, Allen Robinson's production to be missed. But as a collective, we've gotten bigger, taller. We've gotten more physical receivers, and we've gotten more faster receivers for our not. Now, they're not. They may not be top tier to you. But again, if we're going on top tier don't necessarily mean you're going to win the Super Bowl, yes or no. I mean, outside of the Los Angeles Rams, you know, I mean, they had high-profile wide receivers, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., Cooper Kupp, whatever. But Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls with guys you can't even – and without Google, you wouldn't be able to name these guys. And that's the honest-to-God truth, right? So it's going to be wide receiver by committee this season going into this year. Wide receiver by committee, just like people do running back by committee. That's the thing. But my argument with Tom Waddle was, how did we get worse? Because, again, we're only going off of what they've given us this past season. We didn't get worse. Actually, we were for par. If anything, we just swapped them out. That was it. So, and he,
I think that's where he disagrees.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think that's exactly where he disagrees.
And that's where he disagrees. But, you know, so we were having a long back and forth over this. And then more and more people start having the snowball effect. And it just wasn't getting good for Tom, man. On the timeline, as Bear fans were chiming in. And Tom's whole ordeal was he wasn't pushing a narrative, saying he never pushes a narrative. Then, you know, he got a little personal with it, you know, like, oh, sure, guys, like, I don't care about this team, the team that I played for, and you will never have any inclination about how much I care about this team. And, okay, look, don't get all butthurt, because we're not going there with that. You know, I love Tom Waddle. You know, I love Tom Waddle wholeheartedly. You know, he was the only guy that I rooted for from the late, you know, the late 80, with the 89 season all the way up to the 91, 92 season. Will always root for Tom Waddle and still do. It's my guy. But at the same time, it kind of just it didn't strike me right, because it seemed like this is the same thing that all of not only Chicago media, but national media is pushing along. I mean, and kudos to Tom for, you know, hopping on and interacting with the Kings, all three of us, you know, and things that we were stating. But this goes out to all Chicago media. We're going to hold you accountable for the things you say. And we're not looking for you to backtrack off of it, but help us understand. Help us help you. Help us understand where you're coming from, because it doesn't make sense to me at all. And this is where we were going with it. And Roy made a perfect point. And I pass it back to Roy, but Roy made a perfect point where he stated, this is no longer 2018, folks. It's no longer 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we so in love with players who haven't done anything for us since 2018? And I pass it on.
Yeah. 2018 is over. We'll get into that. I'm going to do a quick thing. I want to get Dan's take on it. But last year, and I'm usually one to be like, yeah, blah, 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 schedules don't matter. But let me go over the Bears 2021 schedule.
Toughest schedule in the league.
Los Angeles Rams in L.A., they won the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Cincinnati Bengals, they went to the Super Bowl. The Cleveland Browns, they didn't make the playoffs last year, but they made the playoffs before. Detroit Lions, they suck. Las Vegas Raiders, playoff team. Green Bay Packers, playoff team, contender. Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl the year before. San Francisco is a playoff team and a contender.
NFC Championship. Pittsburgh
is a playoff team. Yeah. Baltimore was a playoff team. They didn't make it last year. Barely missed it. Atlanta, Detroit sucks. Arizona made the playoffs the year before. Green Bay, same thing we said. Vikings kind of suck. Seattle was a playoff team, except for last year. Giants suck. Vikings, like, whatever. They didn't make the playoffs. That's a crazy schedule, bro. We won six games, right?
I should have won 10.
You know, when you look at when people say the Bears are going to win three games, four games, it matters who they play. Last year they had a brutal onslaught with all those injuries.
It was a brutal schedule with just those opponents.
Yeah.
But if you add in the factor that we didn't have not one back-to-back home game, it was on the road, home, on the road, home. But, you know, traveling every week.
Mm-hmm.
No real good home cooking. That adds to it, too. But go ahead. I'm sorry to
interrupt. Yeah. No, you good. That's another part I wanted to just touch on. And this year we're playing the Texans. The Texans weren't good. The Lions aren't good. The Jets aren't good. The Giants aren't good. The Falcons aren't good. The Commanders, I know people are like, oh, my God, the Commanders, they weren't good. They were bottom five team. That matters, bro. So, like, when we go over the schedule and stuff, it's not so much that I think the Bears are this juggernaut team is just going to steamroll. I just don't think a lot of the dudes that are playing this year, at least eight games, are that good.
Yeah.
You know? And you can go ahead and do your take on the Allen Robinson thing, Dan. I know –
you know, my view is a little bit different. It's a little bit different than what Devory, and slightly different from yours as well. And it's different from Waddle's. You know what I mean? I chimed in and I echoed the sentiments that, hey, you know, we did get better as a whole, as a collective group in the wide receiver room. The Bears are better than what they were the previous year in 2020 and in 2019. Let's just be real. Now, if you take Allen Robinson and you say, you know, are we missing something? Yeah, because Darnell Mooney, in my opinion, is not Allen Robinson. And Byron Pringle, you know, he's nowhere close to Allen Robinson in my view, just in my personal view. I don't think he's Allen Robinson type guy.
Most Allen people would agree.
In 2020, you know what I mean? 1,250 yards. You know what I'm saying? 102 catches. So, you know, I've been telling people, you know, going forward that, hey, if you believe that Darnell Mooney is that guy, and I had a conversation with some people on this on Spaces the other day. We had a Spaces going on. And it was a shout out to my man, Ray, the barber.
Shout out to Ray.
Yeah, man, he's doing his thing. He had a little Spaces going. I hopped in there. I'm not a Chicago White Sox fan, but I hopped in there, you know, because I like to support everybody that's doing something. So I hopped in there, man, and talked about it a little bit. So, you know, we kind of got on the topic of the Bears, and I'm taking all bets. Anybody that wants to bet me money that Darnell Mooney has to put up 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns, and at least 100 catches. To me, that would be a better season than what Allen Robinson had. And nobody is taking that bet yet.
I'll take you up on it.
I'm not saying they're not going to take it.
I'll take you up on that bet. The only thing is, though, is that the part that I would take up and I would like to change is 100 catches, because I think he'll have 1,300 yards and less than 100 catches.
Less than 100
catches. He possibly could. Very probably.
In this offense, I'm certain he will.
The only reason when I said that, I didn't, because I have – this is a new offense. It's not like – I totally believe in Darnell Mooney. I've watched –
I do too. And I don't want nobody to think it's the offense. And I told them that too.
Right, don't get it twisted. Dan believes highly in Darnell Mooney. He believes in him. So don't want y'all to get that misconstrued like he's saying something crazy like, oh, he don't believe in Mooney. No, he does. So chill out with that.
I believe in him. I want him to wreck shop. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want him to do this year. But I'm saying that the production level that Allen Robinson, and I take Allen Robinson from 2020, 2021, I don't hold on to it as near and dear. Like Nez, he brings it up a lot. And I'm of the mindset I can't in good conscience, you know, hold his feet to the flames on that completely. He did, you know, drop the ball, and he did, you know, kind of quit on the team and things like that. But with everything that was going on, from Nagy, from the contract, from franchise tag, I just say, man, whatever, bro. You know what I mean? With the whole situation, because I felt like he should have been paid. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like his pay should have been around $20 million like those other wide receivers were. And I give you an example, and I tell people this too. Look up the stats. And he had a better 2019 and 2020 year than both Keelan Allen and Amari Cooper. And they got paid. They both got paid $20 million. So it was worth it. He was worth $20 million at that point, in my opinion. So that's all I'm saying. But yeah, man, we could take that bet, man. And like I said, I want Mooney to do well. If he does, then shoot, I'll be. I love it for him. You know what I mean? We could tag him in and say, look, we got a bet going that you ain't going to do this. Hopefully he performs. You know what I mean? But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that production is going to be missing. You know, when your best wide receiver walks out of the door, to me, that's an issue. So, yeah, I get what Waddle was saying there, but I understand what Nez is saying. Oh, hold on. We are missing this guy. We are missing Khalil Mack. But at the end of the day, we got better as a whole because we got a new coaching staff. We got a new defensive coordinator. We got a guy who's going to put, you know, instill some sensibility in our players and hold people accountable, things like that. Those things are all factors into the roster as well. So, you know, I think the roster has, you know, it's not great. It's not the greatest there is, but It's not as bad as Jacksonville or, you know, all the, you know, I mean, I've seen people saying the Bears are going to, you know, maybe win 3 games. Like, come on, man, 3 games? They're going to go 3-14? Like, they may. I seen somebody on Twitter say that the Bears might have the number one overall pick next year. Like,
come on. I mean, anything can happen, man, but I think a lot of people got to be hurt for that to happen. You know, a lot of stuff. And I mean, we hired the wrong coach, we hired the wrong GM, and a bunch of people got hurt.
They not like, just gonna go out there and suck like the Lions and go, you know, 1-15 or, you know, something like that. That's not.
They got too many good players that care. You know, like, no, one of my main issues that I took up with Waddle is that, like, and I see this with the national media, I see it with the local media, I see it with Bears Twitter. Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are not responsible for what happened prior to them coming to the Chicago Bears. Yep. The Allen Robinson debacle is on Pace, is on Nagy. Pace didn't sign him, and Nagy ruined the relationship, mm-hmm. right? And then last year, whatever happened with the offense, he phased him out or whatever. That's not on the new regime. No. When they got here, they had a disgruntled wide receiver who had been franchise tagged. The only way they could have kept him was to franchise tag him twice.
Yeah, because he wasn't signing no contract.
He wasn't signing a contract. No matter, oh, we got a new regime. Oh, cool. Nice to meet you guys. Sorry it didn't work out. I want to be out. I'm done with the Chicago Bears. I don't care if you guys are hired. No offense to Justin. No offense to Mooney. I want out. And I'm not playing on the franchise tag. So how are they supposed to sign him? So like when and that's the thing I kept saying to Waddle was like, how are you putting this on Poles? The guy didn't want to be franchise tagged. And so what are you going to do, franchise? You don't even have any cap space to franchise tag them. They would have franchise tagged them. It'd have been $20 million. They only had like $25 million in cap space. That's fully guaranteed contract. They were stuck between a rock and a hard place. And like, what do you expect them to do? That's not on them. That's on the previous regime. Let the previous regime go, man. And like the thing about Darnell Mooney, we talked about, I think that Darnell Mooney and this offense and this chemistry with Fields, they can build a little bit more chemistry. He had 140 targets. He caught 80 something passes. He had 9 drops. Darnell Mooney is a good catcher. He has good hands. I don't think Darnell Mooney's going to drop 9 passes this season. I think he's the type of player he knows he has to – he's going to bring out that jugs machine. He's going to work on that. He had 1,055 yards, so he was just shy of 1,100 yards. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't even the main option until, you know, like 3-4 games after Allen Robinson, you know, decided that he didn't want to be a Bear anymore for the rest of the season. So I think it's possible. They're different receivers. I hate to compare them because Allen Robinson is an X. We talked about that. You know, he's a prototypical X. Right. Mooney is a Z. You know, there are teams that have dominant Zs, like the Buffalo Bills. Stephon Diggs is a Z. You know, he's like 5'10", 5'11", 190 pounds. You know, OBJ, 5'11", you know, maybe 190. You know, there are guys that fit that prototype of Mooney that put up big numbers, like Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is like, he's smaller than Mooney. He's like 5'10". You know, this guy catches 100 balls. So, yeah, it definitely can happen. So, do we need to get an X? Is Darnell, Byron Pringle just a placeholder probably until they find that guy? Yeah. But he's not trash. And I think with me, with the Byron Pringle thing, is that's the whole point I'm trying to make. He's not trash. He's not Allen Robinson, but he's not trash, right? Velus Jones Jr. is not trash. The dude can play. If you cut on the tape, you cut on his highlights, he could play. He could play. And I can see how they can make him work in this offense, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't ask him to run a lot of routes in Tennessee. If you watch the Tennessee tape, bro, they were a half-field team. The opposite side of where the quarterback wasn't going to throw, they didn't even run routes. They would literally walk. So they weren't asking these guys to run complicated routes. You know, they were running slants. They were running goals. They were running a little quick outs. They weren't running complicated stuff, dude. So some of that's on the team and what they asked him to do in college. He showed that he can run routes in the Senior Bowl. So we got to see these guys play, man. And some of these guys didn't get an opportunity, like Equanimeous St. Brown. Yeah. Like, I got to say this. I said this, and it was a hot take. And I know
he came out of college, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm going to let you take over after this. I said this, and it's a hot take, right? I said, I'd rather have Equanimeous St. Brown than all those guys picked in the 5th, 6th round of the draft. Because if he was coming out, bro, if you had a 6'5 wide receiver that played for Notre Dame, that ran a 4.4, that had the production that he had in Notre Dame. He had production. He was productive. And he was coming out. You can't tell me that he wasn't a better prospect than everybody in that 4th or 6th round, maybe except Justin Ross. Yeah. He would have been better than all those guys.
I agree. 100%.
You know?
And Justin Ross, the only reason he slipped down there is because of that whole neck situation. Or not neck, but...
Yeah, back.
Back, whatever.
Yeah, fine. So that's what I mean by that, man. Like, come on, bro. That dude was coming out. Y'all have been all over him.
Yeah.
But let's jump to this, man. We touched on it.
One last thing about Waddle. One issue that I took with Waddle is that he was so fixated on Allen Robinson. And like you said, it's not 2018, so we got to move past that. We can't move forward until you just wash your hands and say, you know what, that guy's not on our team anymore. It's over with. It's done with. You know what I mean? And when the conversation gets brought back up, I hate when it gets brought back up because I feel a certain way about it. I feel like we should still have him. So I always voice that. But you got to stop. You got to stop talking about him. You got to stop crying over spilled milk. It's over with. It's done with. You know what I mean? And with Waddle, you know, one of the things that I said is that, you know, I agree with what he was saying slightly, but I also disagree. And not only that, but, you know, when you're talking about Allen Robinson and you're talking about all these other guys and you're speaking on the past so much, you're just regurgitating and echoing what the national media is saying. So you don't want to, I'm not pushing an agenda. I'm not pushing a narrative. Yeah, but you're echoing that narrative. And that's the narrative that we've all heard time and time again. And for you to be fixated on Allen Robinson at this point in time, it's time to point your nose in a different direction and look at the team that we have that we're about to field on the football field. And then, you know, start evaluating those guys. But we can't cry over not having Allen Robinson anymore. It's over with. It's done.
Yeah. And that's the thing. He's in L.A. We don't even play L.A. this year. Like, why? It's over.
It's over. It's
He's
done.
Not a Bear. You know, we got to – we move. You know, the Bears ultimately, hopefully, you know, I assume they will eventually replace Allen Robinson. Next year, we already know this. We're going to have all our draft picks. We're going to have a buku of cap space. And if we go into the 2023 season with our biggest need being we need to get that guy a wide receiver, we sitting pretty. Yeah. Maybe a couple other additions, you know, but nothing major. The major glaring need is that. I think we're doing okay, man.
Yeah.
You can survive a year. Everybody going over this. We went over the Josh Allen thing. They didn't have a number one. They didn't even have a Darnell Mooney, let's be honest, before they got Stephon Diggs. Who knows? Darnell Mooney might become Stephon Diggs. They bought the same damn
Facts.
Bill.
Facts.
And, you know? And who knows? I mean, he's St. Brown, like we just said. Maybe he steps up and maybe with an opportunity and him being hungry, maybe he pans out and starts working out. We've seen guys take a step forward later on. You know what I mean? He's not old. He's what, 20, 24 years old maybe?
24, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, come on.
Yeah, he may be the X. We see this all the time. You just got to let it. He's going to get an opportunity. I told this. He played under Getsy. Getsy was a wide receivers coach, right? And he was a quarterback's coach, so he knows this guy's intimately.
Exactly.
You know, he coached this guy. He brought him here for a reason to get him out. He's going to get an opportunity, whether people like it or not. He's going to get an opportunity. But I want to remember Funeral Fab, man. You be killing them. It's time to have a funeral for the 2018 Bears, man. It was fun.
What is it, sleep?
It was fun. They won 12 games, bro. They lost in the wild card round. That chasing that ghost is dead. Pace is gone. Nagy is gone. That era is over. It's only three people on the current roster that played on that team. Right? Is Cody Whitehair, Eddie Jackson, and Roquan Smith. That's it. That team is done. It's over. The entire wide receiver room is over. Darnell Mooney wasn't on that team. Cole Kmet wasn't on that team. Justin Fields wasn't on that team. Tevin Jenkins, Larry Brown went on that team. It's over. It's a new era, man. And I think that's what's causing a lot of angst is that people, we kept chasing that ghost. Pace kept chasing that ghost. So it kind of always felt like we were connected to that year. And once we cut that tie, people were like, oh, man, we must be bad. No, it's over, man. It's a new era. It's a new regime, new GMs, new front office, new coaches, new quarterback, new system. It's over. Like people, it's like people with baggage and relationships, man. They taking the baggage from the previous relationship and bringing it into the new relationship. People are upset about Nagy. Yeah, they're upset about Nagy and taking it out on Eberflus. They mad about Pace and taking it out on Poles. You know, they're mad that Mitch didn't work out, and then he's taking out on Justin Fields. You know, it's the same thing, dude. You know, I think it's time to move on, man. You know, and I think that's what a big thing about this Allen Robinson take is that it's still a connection to that old regime. And they're obviously moving on. Allen Robinson, time for you to move on. It's a new era.
Let that shit go. That's my thing. It's like they got to let it go, man. You can't be holding on. Again, I take it back to what my father said. If you're still talking about yesterday, that means you ain't doing shit today. It's time to move on.
Time to move on, man. Hang it up. You know, those guys have moved on, man. You know, you're talking about guys that are on the roster. Like you said, Will, three guys on the roster that's left from that 2018 team. You know what I mean? And all those other guys that have gone on to new situations and new teams, they've moved on, right? They're not thinking about the Bears. I mean, you may have Adrian Amos or something like that that pops up and says something stupid every now and then, but you know, for the most part, those guys have moved on, right? So, you know, it is what it is. If we play them, they'll try to stick it to us or something like that. That's normal. That's what happens in the NFL, in any football or basketball league or whatever. You know, but at the end of the day, they're not thinking about us week to week, man. We got to move on, too.
How sweet will it be if, you know, let's say the Bears make the playoffs as a wild card. And let's say the Rams is a wild card. And we play the Rams. How sweet would it be? How sweet would it be? How sweet would it be? That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave it at that. I mean, it's a what if. A big ass what if. But, you know, how sweet would it be? How sweet would it be? Because I'm telling you, don't let us make it to the playoffs. Don't let us make it to the playoffs. And don't let us put out the defending Super Bowl champs. Because B. Parker, I'm going to be insufferable on the Twitter timeline. I'm just letting you know now. I'm going to be insufferable. You're going to block me. You and your mans. Y'all going to block me. Y'all going to block me that day. I promise you. If it happens. If it happens.
We ain't got to worry about that.
If it happens. Yeah, hey, I done seen crazy things happen because I'm going to tell you this. In the NFL is the only place where you can go from worst to first.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Cincinnati. And, again, these teams that go from worst to first, they always show you something. During that losing streak, you know, or during the times that they lose it, they show you that they got promise. Remember, when the Cincinnati Bengals, the year before, I think they went – I think they went 4-12, right? And they had like something like that, right? But remember, in every game, Cincinnati played hard. Cincinnati wasn't getting blown out. People was barely eking by Cincinnati, and then they went and got Jamar Chase, and the rest was history. Let me remind people, Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl. We handled them quite handily when they came to Soldier Field. We whooped that ass handily before they found out Eddie Jackson and them was on some bullshit back. But before they found out we didn't have no DBs back there and just was letting it rip. I mean, the one where Jamar Chase caught it and Vildor and Eddie Jackson like ran into each other. Oh, my God, dog. But, you know, before that, we was whooping that ass. Before they try to come back and make it a game, but by that time time was too far gone, the game was over. But may I remind you, folks, we not that far off. We not that far off by any stretch of the imagination. Again, Eberflus took over a more worse off defense in Indy when he first started compared to what he's taking over now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I went on this, and this is I posted this stuff on Twitter, right? The Bears were 13th in DVOA, which is defensive DVO, which is one of the most accepted metrics on how to rate a defense, because it's not just points against and all that, because teams scoring garbage time and stuff like that. 13th. The Colts were 27th when Eberflus took over. So the Bears, and this was with that trash secondary. The Bears were 13th. They were the top half of the NFL. And they improved the secondary. And you got Matt Eberflus coming in here, who is known to just produce top 10, top 5 defenses. He took the Colts from 27th to 10th. You think he can't take the 13th ranked defense and put him in the top 10? Not only that, the Bears had the 7th ranked special teams, according to defensive DVOA. So this team already has a good special teams, has a good defense, and they ran for 2,000 yards despite Matt Nagy not wanting to even run the ball. So they're a good running team. So you got a good defense, good special teams. You got the bones of a good running team. And you got this young quarterback who is probably physically gifted, speaking, is top 5. Physically blessed, gifted, talented quarterbacks in the NFL. And you're going to put him in a system that fits his offensive skill set? And you think this team can't improve? The offense just has to improve. They don't even have to improve to top 10. They can go up. The Bears will rank 26. They can go up 8 spots and be 18. And if that defense cracked top 10 and that special team stays top 10, and I'm talking about a number of 18th, 19th ranked offense, the Bears can be decent. They can be a decent team. They can be a decent team. They saying Justin Fields is ahead of schedule, and he's looking good. He changed his mechanics, and they said they got him on the move more. His launch point's changing. All the stuff we said the Bears should have did when Matt Nagy was here that he refused to do. It's happening. It may not. When you look at that schedule, when you say the Bears might improve, we still believe in Justin Fields, and that's the difference between us and what other people are you going to hear. They're going to be like, I don't know. I don't know. Rex Grossman didn't work out. No, man. I believe Justin Fields. They're not the same skill set. They're like, Mitch didn't work out. Mitch has skill set. Justin Fields is on another level. If you have a halfway competent offensive mind that can game plan, your offense should improve. Justin Fields is that dude. He's that dude.
And what people don't understand is that a lot of good quarterback play and a lot of guys that come into the league and they do well, it's because of the system, it's because of the coaching and the development that they went into. There are guys that are not good that went into terrible situations, and that's what the problem was. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's see what these guys do. Let's see what the coaching staff does. He's assembled a nice coaching staff, guys that hold people accountable. And, you know, they're saying all the right things. They're making the right moves. Let's see what happens, man. I think everybody has earned the right to have that type of leeway, you might say. You know what I mean? And for people to just kind of write the whole team off and, you know, oh, it's all hell because we don't have Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack. I would have traded Khalil Mack to get a first round pick. I'm like, who's getting no? Madden and fantasy football have ruined yes. Like some fans' minds when it comes to the game, bro, because they think it's more fantasy than anything to them.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. the pieces have to fit. The you know, people got to sign off on this. The owners got to sign off. The GMs, the coaches, everybody has to sign off on this. It's not just, you know, forced to trade through. You know what I mean? That's not how that's not, you know, you calling up your homeboy, you know, hey, bro, like, I'm about to go to the playoffs. Can you, you know, help me get over the hump? I know your squad is 2-13 this year. And he just give you somebody. That's not how this works, bro. This is the NFL.
You mean it's not like Madden? If I see a free agent, if I just offer him a deal and bump up the money he just signed, he don't just sign with me?
He signs right away, yeah. or it's a whole bunch of free agents at the beginning of the season and you just go in there and you got your pick of the litter however many times you want. You know what I mean? It's not how it works, man. People lost their minds when it comes to this.
Yeah, it's definitely not like Madden, man. You know, you're right, man. It's just not like that. And you see too many people do that. They think, oh, if I just you just want this guy, just sign him. No, bro, the dude has to want to sign with
him. I put that tweet out earlier this week. Did y'all see that one tweet?
Yeah.
And it took off. And I said, you know, I basically was saying, you know, comparing to Jacksonville. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like instead we signed, you know, Ryan Pohl signed guys to prove a deal. He didn't bite on an overpriced free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Flipped 6 draft picks to 11.
Oh, yeah.
And drafted high character men. Dude got in there, and the first thing he says is, we should have got Brian Allen.
He resigned with his own team.
In L.A., in beautiful weather.
Beautiful L.A.
70-degree weather.
For his team, for his own team that just won a championship. Why the hell? I've seen people say that, too. Like, oh, we got Lucas Patrick. I looked him up. Like, Lucas Patrick's pretty solid, and he played with Gesicki. He knows the system. That's why he brought him here as a center, because you got a young quarterback who's learning the system. You want to bring in a center who's versed in the system, who knows the call protections to protect Justin Fields.
Right.
That actually can actually play. Mustafa can call the protections, but he couldn't really block. Lucas can actually block and call the protections. And they're like, well, we should have signed Brian Allen. He don't understand. He didn't want to come here, bro. He signed with his own team. This is ridiculous.
Says, one dude, Sean McKay, one guy says, our coach got thumped by the Jags, so that was a bad decision by Poles. To hire him.
Did anybody watch that game? Like, seriously, I watched Carson Wentz was throwing red zone picks. I think that's the only game Matt Eberflus lost to the Jags.
That's Eberflus' problem, though. He was out there throwing them, but
yeah. They were turning the ball over in their own end zone, red zone. And then they scored. He'd be like, why are you even stopping?
So Poles is not a real GM because he hired Eberflus after that. He got thumped by the Jags. So Poles is not a real. Plus, a real GM would have traded Mac for what was needed in the first round instead of drafting.
Like, do people realize that?
This is,
I know.
This ain't made up, bro. This is.
These are the people they call Waddle and Sylvie. Shots fired.
Shots fired.
These are the meatballs we call Waddle and Sylvie, though.
Facts.
This is the stuff we deal with, man. This is the stuff.
Oh.
So because they lost to the Jags.
One game.
Eberflus got thumped. Okay. He wasn't even the head coach, but you know, it falls on him, you know.
Hey, he had a top three defense, but that don't matter, right?
Nah, it don't fit their narrative.
Nah. He had a top three defense, but that was on him. All on him. Not Carson Wentz throwing left-handed passes in the red zone getting picked off.
Right.
They put up 11 hot points that game. The Colts. Come on, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you got to search that hard to find something, you already dead in the water to me. It's like the people, I got to get some slander to these people. I usually keep my mouth shut. The people that try to slander Larry Bourne, dude. It's this one clip. He had a bad game versus the Vikings.
Okay.
Right? He got beat a couple times, got some pressures on. I forgot who the pass rusher's name. Matt, what's the dude that got fired? Matt Nagy didn't give him no help, right? He got beat a couple times by a speed rusher. And if you see one clip ever when only somebody wanted to slander Larry Bourne, they put up this one clip versus the Vikings when he's playing right tackle and the dude gets him on a speed rush. And they play it all the time.
Was it Daniel? Who was it?
Some young guy. Some young up-and-coming guy they got. But he got him. He got him. Everybody gets God. They don't talk about the time he held it down versus Nick Bosa, versus TJ Watt.
And that's my thing, bro. You know, we look at the teams that we went up against last year, like the teams that the Bears played. They had good pass rushers. Some of those guys were, you know what I mean? You got a rookie playing, Borum, even Jenkins, rookies, and they're going up against some of the better pass rushers, better defensive lines in the league. They're going to get beat every now and then. But mm-hmm. do you see them, you know, where they're working and making improvements on their game? That's what people don't look at. When they watch a game, they just watch a game and, oh, we lost. We suck. No. That's not how this works, man. Evaluate everything that goes on in the game.
Yeah, and so that's what they keep pointing out that. And I'm like, so you ignore when he was stonewalling Nick Bosa? But you would point this out. Like, that doesn't mean ignore when he gets beat. You got to take all of it into consideration. You just can't pick the parts that fit your narrative. You gotta take the whole sandwich and eat it and digest it. It's the entire thing, dude. And that's what you see people doing. I get it, though. Sports, especially writers, journalists, are about narratives, right? They create narratives, talking points. And then they just kind of, it gets out there and they just keep regurgitating it. It ain't actually, it's a difference between a journalist who creates narratives and an analyst. What we do is analytical. We're analysts. We analyze the game. And then we use it, you know, social media, podcasts, whatever, to talk about it, discuss it, tweet about it. That's what we do. We're analyzing. So that's why you hear less of a narrative from us and you hear more of a narrative from writers, national writers. They just say, well, you know, yeah, the Bears might be okay, but they got a first-time head coach and a first-time head play caller, and Allen Williams didn't call plays for a long time, and, you know, the center didn't really stay. These are narratives. When you hear people talking like that, those are talking points. Those are narratives, and that's what people are putting out there, right? Instead of actually, can this dude play football? I don't care about a narrative. Can he play football? Speaking of playing football, they said these young DBs we signed or drafted are balling out. Kyler Gordon's been picking all passes. They saying the boy moves well. And they saying Brisker has a knack for punching the ball out. And about the DB.
He's caused several fumbles, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Jalen Johnson started off with the twos. With the twos. Eberflus said, don't think nothing of it. What y'all think about that? What y'all think about the DBs and what's going on?
I think the DBs that we got are solid as fuck. I think they solid as fuck. I mean, seriously, these are going to be day one contributors. And Brisker, I'm in love with Brisker, man. And I love the young boy that we got from Washington. I can't think of his name. Kyler Gordon. I was about
Kung
to
say Kung Fu Gordon. Kung Fu
KG.
Kyler.
Yeah, KG. You know what I'm saying? Looking like motherfucker looked like Trey Songz. All day, every day. You know, he looked like he sing you a note, but man, that boy will lock your ass down. That boy, and his hops is crazy. You know, he reminds me of Tim Jennings.
His hops is sick.
More physical.
40 years vert.
Yeah, he's like a more physical Tim Jennings to me.
Bigger, too. He's like 6 feet. Yeah.
You know, man, you know, hey, Tim Jennings had them damn Jets, but, you know, my man Kyler Gordon, solid. You know what I'm saying? So, them young boys, they coming in. They coming to take jobs. They not looking to make friends, man. They coming to take jobs. You know what I'm saying? And good. That means that, you know, that puts guys like Ejax on notice. You know, I mean, look at the fact of Jalen Johnson with the second unit. You know, Eberflus is putting, I don't give a damn what you did last year. You know, you going to come to play. And if you don't come to play, Don't expect to be out here. I don't care where you was drafted. I don't care. I don't care what you think in your mind, what you are. You're going to get on board.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know if that was a hustle issue for why he was demoted to the second unit. We'll see, but we'll see if the young man gets on board and do what he's supposed to do. He ain't got no other choice.
I'm not going to read too much into the Jalen Johnson. I think Jalen Johnson is going to be fine, no doubt.
He ain't going to get benched.
It's just, you know what I mean? Sometimes a coach will send a message, and the message might be to the entire team. You know what I'm saying? It may not even be necessarily for Jalen Johnson. He may have gone to Jalen Johnson. I've seen coaches do this. They go to a player and say, look, this is what I'm going to do, but I want to send a message to the entire team. So don't take it personal, whatever. You know what I mean? And he may have came to him and said, you know what, Jalen, you running with the twos today. And everybody looking around like, dang, that could be me. You know what I mean? And then, you know, that gets guys to play harder. So I'm not saying that's what happened, but, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I don't think Jalen Johnson is at a point where he could possibly lose his job to Kendall Vildor.
Hell no.
Hell no. No,
not for that ass.
And and that might have been that, and that's why it made me think of that, because, you know, I don't think there's, unless Jalen Johnson does something like, you know, he just can't get along with
domestic
the coach,
violence,
you
know, situation
or something, then yeah, you know what I mean? Does something stupid and yeah, something like that. But for the most part, I think Jalen Johnson's secure in his job. I think he's well enough.
Imagine going in the locker room and Jalen Johnson just mugging Kyle Vildor, right? And he's just looking at him, and Vildor looking over at him. He like, ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. Like, you know your ass ain't playing, right? Ain't nobody coming. Man, ain't nobody finna start your ass. Don't get geeked. Nigga, you trash.
You know Vildor knows that too. He's just sitting over there like,
yeah, Kendall. Kendall just over there like, maybe this is my opportunity. Like, Kendall, look, don't get your hopes up, bro.
Kendall, you are not starting after that nickel spot.
You are not starting.
Young and Graham? No.
Graham got that on lock.
He behind Young and Graham. Right now, he's fighting for CB4, 5. Special teams.
Motherfucker relegated to punt.
Think about it. That's what people need to focus on. When they talk about this roster, is it worse off? You got a guy in Kendall Vildor who we were talking about last year.
Who was starting.
He started out starting. Now we're talking about him possibly being 4 or 5.
So he definitely 5 because he behind Jalen. He behind Kyler. He behind Graham. He's behind Young. So right now, he might even be behind Shelly. Exactly. So he might be CB6.
He might be either practice squad.
Yeah, he might be practice squad. Yeah, like you got a guy who started games who might be practice squad.
Smelly.
Right now, I got him at 5 and 6 on the roster.
And I don't think everybody is keep preaching offense, offense, offense. We need offense. We need offense. We need offense. A good defense. Let me tell you something. Funny thing about it, right? Remember the Super Bowl winning Seattle Seahawks, right? Outside of Russell Wilson and Percy Harvin, who was the starting wide receivers?
A lot of people don't know.
You don't fucking know. Probably couldn't even tell me who their starting tight end was, but they're Super Bowl champs, right?
Right.
Again, long as you believe Justin Fields is that type of quarterback, is high profile enough. If Russell Wilson can do it with a solid defense, so can Justin Fields, folks. Get excited about this year. It's not doom and gloom like y'all motherfuckers think. It's not with this easy ass schedule. All it takes is for the defense to buy in, and the city will be on fire. This team will be on fire.
Bro, if the defense buys in and the offense can catch a little bit of a flame, you know, things start rolling in the right direction real quickly. 2018 is a testament to that.
Yes.
We didn't think the Bears were going to be what they were in 2018.
Nobody did.
In 2018.
They got Khalil Mack. In 2017,
did you think they were going to be that? No.
No, they got Khalil Mack and it took off.
It changed the entire, everything about the team, and everybody took off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they put together, you know, they caught lightning in a bottle, and things like that can happen on the, you know, every single year something like that happens in the NFL, like you said, worst to first.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jordan Howard didn't rush for 1,000 yards that year. Allen Robinson was just coming off his ACL. The Bears didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver.
In 2018.
No, he had like 40, 50 catches.
500 yards, right. Something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had let's go back to 2018. We had Allen Robinson, right? But he wasn't 100%. He was coming off the ACL. Outside of that, who do you have? Taylor Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, who next? Anthony Miller.
Anthony Miller.
Who's a wide receiver for? Josh Bellamy.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Burton was the tight end. Adam Shaheen was the backup tight end.
Mm-hmm.
The backup running back outside of Tariq Cohen, who's more of a gadget guy, was Benny Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a juggernaut offense. They were a top 10 offense, scoring offense. Right? I mean, you playing good defense, and Jordan Howard, he just did enough running the ball. He's a battering ram.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that offense wasn't a juggernaut. They didn't have, like, these superstars flying all over the field, man. They can be all right, man. I think people I try to put what I find about the Shanahan type of style offense, because it is. Because let me go over this. I got to go over this. Chris Morgan is the offensive line coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do people know who he played for, who he coached for? He was the offensive line coach in Atlanta for Kyle Shanahan, right?
Yep.
We went over this. Andrew Janaco. And shout out to Elise, because Elise pointed this out to me. There's a connection, right? Friend of the show. Getsy, Andrew Janaco was a backup quarterback at Pitt when Luke Getsy was a graduate assistant coach on that team.
Mm.
Right? Connection. Chris Morgan, who just came from the Steelers, but he coached for Shanahan and the Shanahan and then down in Atlanta when he went to the Super Bowl. They brought in all these guys that are versed in this offensive system. When we talked about this last time, the succession plan that they have with Justin Fields, with Andrew Janaco and Luke Getsy and Chris Morgan. This offense is tailor-made for Justin Fields.
Absolutely.
Like, I encourage people to go back, search Justin Fields 49ers and see how many 49er fans and media people and analysts
raving about Justin Fields.
They wanted to get Justin Fields. They said, oh my God, if you put Justin Fields on a Shanahan type offense, it is going to be, they're going to wreck the NFL. Well, we're doing it in Chicago.
Enough it's said. Happening. Enough said.
Like, study it, man. And Justin Fields is on the move. Cole Kmet said it. Justin Fields is on the move, changing his life points.
And we tell people this all the time, right? We're not speaking to a lot of our listeners, like you said, Elise pointed some of this stuff out to you. You know what I mean? Shout out to Elise again. And several other listeners, bro. We're not saying that y'all are not listening. We're saying for the whole, just as a whole.
As a collective.
There's a collective. Yeah, exactly. The collective, the fan base in general, they just listen to these pundits and these talking heads who want something to talk about, so they drum up these wild, crazy things, and then they just throw stuff out there, and people just suck it up, you know what I mean? Like leeches, and move forward on it. So, yeah, we're not shooting it. We're not saying to our listeners that y'all are, I mean, because y'all be on point, man.
Yeah, our listeners, bro, think about this. The people that rock with us are telling us that Getsy and Andrew Giannakko have a connection.
That's because they doing
previously. And the national media, the local media, no one says this. Who's saying this? These guys, I'm over here, we over here ordering the freaking Green Bay Packers and 49ers offensive manuals. Shout out to Bobby Peters. And studying this. And these guys are getting paid and they're not doing it. When the last time any of these guys, like I posted the other day, I posted the sale concept. And it was the 49ers running and the Green Bay Packers running it. Because we run a similar offense. I post that online. Everybody can see. This is what I'm trying. This is what I'm looking up. How many people from local media and national media doing it? Maybe that are big. That have check marks. Maybe Hogan John?
I don't think they doing it.
Not in depth?
Mm-mm.
They're not telling you this. They just want to say, oh, well, I don't know. You know. Go look up the offense and look how the 49ers use their offensive players. And then you try to envision how the Bears will use their same offensive weapons in a similar scheme. Because that's what they're going to do. Think about David Montgomery running outside zone. Khalil Herbert running outside zone.
Whoo! Better than big yards, baby.
You know, David Montgomery had no holes when he was running. He was just making something happen out of nothing. Running that BS power gap scheme, whatever the hell they were running. I don't know what they were running.
Nagy was running that offense, man, that my man from the Waterboy, the coach from the Waterboy was running. He was sitting on the ball and whoo, whoo, whoo. Okay, no, he goes right. No. He fakes left. No. He goes right, then fakes left, then drops back to pass. That was Nagy, man. That was Nagy.
Hey, y'all remember who posted that tweet that one time where it was remember old boy got in that same movie, old boy?
Yeah, I posted that when he took that playbook from.
About to be awfully physical up in there.
It's going to get awfully physical up here. When he was taking the playbook from Laser. Like,
yeah.
Laser.
I'm going to have that playbook. One way or another. Or it's going to get awfully physical up in here. And you don't want that red, now do you? He just took it right out of his hand. hey, that was Dan Part. When he was, it's going to get awfully physical up in here.
Y'all got me dying, bro. Y'all got me dying.
Yeah, I posted that when he took that playbook from his hand. Yeah I'm going to have that book.
I'm out of that book.
One way or another.
It's funny, I was watching that movie the other day and that car came on and I started dying thinking about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. We got the genius out of here. Man, that's another thing with people. Why don't we hire offensive genius? Well, we did that. We did it a couple times.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
It didn't work either time.
How about we just hire... we said this, I wanted a CEO head coach, and that's the kind of approach Eberflus has taken. And another thing about Eberflus, people don't understand. He was the passing game coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. They did that to try to keep him in Dallas because Rod Marinelli was the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. They knew that he was going to get a job. They knew he was a hot commodity. And they didn't want to lose him.
Yeah, and remember, folks, the Bears defense was at its best with Rod Marinelli when he was the defense coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
It was at their best. I don't care what nobody got to say. Rob Marinelli, when he went from the 0-6, yes, the 0-16 Detroit Lions, and came to the Chicago Bears, we had just got rid of a defensive coordinator by the name of Bob Babbage.
Bob Babbage.
Garbage.
Remember Lovie Star calling plays again?
Yeah, that's how bad Bob Babbage got.
That's terrible.
Bob Babbage was fucking awful. Like, awful.
He was.
My God, he was awful. Remember, the Super Bowl run, we had Ron Rivera as the defensive coordinator.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then after the Super Bowl run, we had Bob Babbage. That's when we fell off, like, drastically. Like, man, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, we didn't come back to Rob Marinelli.
And then when Rob Marinelli came, that's when the defense got caught fire again. And I even though 2010 was our year, was supposed to be our year, because we would have beat Pittsburgh in that damn Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We'd have beat them in that Super Bowl, hands down. The way the Bears was going that year, but the year after, when the Bears was humming on all cylinders and we had just whooped the Jets, and then we turned around and whooped the Chargers, and Jay Cutler broke his thumb. That was our season. That was our season.
Yeah, they were legit.
At that time, I think we were sitting at 8-3. At that time, it was either 7-3 or 8-3.
Yeah, it was rolling.
And then we lost the last six games straight.
That's when they was, man. And I thought they was going to be the following year. I thought they were going to be good too.
Well, we started out 7-1. Them was three wasted seasons, folks.
Yeah, pain, man. When we had Lovie, we had those great defenses that we finally got Jay Cutler. I think Justin Fields is more talented. I ain't saying he's as accomplished as Jay Cutler. He's more talented than Jay Cutler, and he's a better leader of men. Jay Cutler wasn't a great leader. Yeah, definitely a better leader.
Yo.
If we can combine that, if we can get that Lovie's era-type defense where we actually have a young franchise quarterback. Justin Fields is going to be here a long time, people. Like,
whether
people
that like this whole,
yeah, I'm gonna get this notion that they just want to lose so they can get rid of Justin. No quarterback in next year's draft is gonna be as talented as Justin Fields. He ain't going nowhere, bro.
Or the year after,
they're not gonna get rid of him.
And the Bears have a fifth year option because he was a first round draft
pick. Yeah,
this is year two of five before they have to extend him. Like, he ain't going nowhere, bro, for a while. Most teams are gonna ride out with that rookie quarterback unless he's Josh Rosen terrible.
Speaking of Cutler, man, what about Cutthroat Cutler,
Sam
man?
Wasn't
Cutthroat Cutler stroking out his best friend, his neighbor's wife, while he was on vacation together?
With the kid in the next room.
With the kid in the next room, piping down his neighbor's wife.
Cheating in the next room.
Like, damn. Crazy. Cutler was cutthroat, boy.
Hey, Kristen Cav was like, see, I told you.
Cutler was getting some cutty, dog.
Trying to cut. Cutty trying to cut. Cutthroat cutty. It's cold on these streets, man. It's cold out here, man.
That's messed up, man.
So big.
But hey, man.
Both the kids in the house and everything, man. I'm like, hey, that's grimy.
Cutler like, ain't no loyalty, baby.
Who made that song? It was in Nori. Dun, 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 grimy.
Yeah. Ain't no loyalty, B. Ain't no loyalty, B.
Oh,
Cutler
man.
Like, shit, somebody smashing my wife, so I'm smashing somebody else's wife.
His best friend, though, the kid.
Right.
Uncle
Jay. Best friend, like, fuck it. He don't mind. Come on.
Uncle Jay.
Yeah, that's why he wanted to hang out. Just go on vacation together.
He invite him on vacation, he smashes all late.
That's jacked up. That's jacked up,
dirty, dirty cutty, man. Hey, I got a trash tweet, or trash take. Is we just talking about quarterback. Chris Sims is at it again. He tried to say some kind words about Justin Fields, but he. And not just Justin Fields. He put Daniel Jones over Justin Fields.
Daniel Jones?
And even Jalen Hurts.
Oh, my God.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Bro, Daniel Jones, this is his fifth year. Can we end this?
Yes.
Like, for one, comparing Justin Fields, who came off his rookie year, 12 games, you comparing Justin Fields to Daniel Jones. The ship has sailed, bro. Like, Daniel Jones is not the 20th best quarterback in the NFL. There is no GM in the NFL that would take Daniel Jones over Justin Fields right now.
Let them keep doing that, man. Let them keep doing it, because all they doing is fueling the fire. Fueling the fire, fueling the fire, fueling the fire. I told you, we're going to shock a lot of people, man, when we start the year. Starting week one against the Niners, who probably will play without Deebo Samuel. Because it don't seem like he coming back unless they give him what he has.
Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo's gone, too.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, gone. now you got a quarterback who really hasn't seen live game action. He got in towards the end of the season where people was playing, you know, they was playing guys who they wanted to get a look at. Let's see. Well, no, I take that back, because Trey Lance played early, didn't he, in one game where he got one win, didn't he? That was more so the defense where Trey Lance played. He got that win.
He had a play where it was some blown covers. He picked up a lot of yards. He really didn't. I don't try to knock the young guys, you know, because you want to see them play. But I haven't seen too much. And then Shanahan has been like really non-committal to Trey Lance, you know, kind of like if that happened in Chicago, the way kind of Shanahan is like kind of like, oh yeah, you know, Chicago would be melting down, bro. Chicago would be on fire.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you had a guy like that not giving the props to it. It's going to be interesting, man, because you got Trey Lance, who might not have Deebo Samuel, going against the Chicago Bears in Chicago with what's probably going to be a top 10 defense. And we mentioned this when we were making the picks, right?
Yep.
This might be a thing. This might be a thing. He might come in here as basically a rookie. And he's going to have to throw, because they're going to be rushing four and dropping seven, all eyes on the ball, right? So it's going to be interesting, man. That's why you can't. You gotta wait and see. You gotta wait and see, man. But I'm taking Justin Fields over Trey Lance every day of the week and twice on Sunday. You know what I mean?
I agree with that 100%.
And I ain't got nothing to say about Daniel Jones, so y'all know how I feel about Trash Can Dan.
Man, like you said, this is his fifth year, man. He is what he is at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know. What you gonna say? You know, he turns the ball over a lot. You know, he's an underachiever. You know, it is what it is. He's a backup quarterback. There's guys out there that have gotten drafted. Him, Mitch Trubisky, they're backup quarterbacks.
Sam Darnold,
they're backup quarterbacks. And they were able to masquerade for, you know, a little while because a team needed them for, you know, a brief moment. And they were quickly, you know, found out that, you know, they just couldn't live up to par, yeah. You know, and you move on. So yeah, that's probably what's going to happen with the Giants pretty soon with them, you know, and they'll be looking for another quarterback.
Yep. They signed Tyrod, didn't he? I think they signed Tyrod.
I think they did, yeah.
And he played for Buffalo. Okay, we already know how this is going to go. We know how this is going to go. He's going to play a couple games. He's going to suck. They're going to replace him with Tyrod. Then they're going to have a hot draft pick, and they're going to draft a quarterback. Like, let's not play games, bro. That's what's going to happen. Like, I, what has Daniel Jones done? What moment? Like, listen, bro. Like, every quarterback, even if they don't have a great rookie year, they show you something. I remember Josh Allen jumped over a dude when he was a rookie. Right. Remember that?
Right.
You were like, dude, I think that's the only quarterback in the NFL that can do that.
Right.
Remember Justin Fields rush versus the 49ers, and yeah, that flow to it in the one versus the Pittsburgh. Even if they don't put up great numbers, they have those moments where you say,
"Facts."
Yeah, J.U. Jones was running wide open down the football field with nobody within 30 yards of him, and the turf monster jumped up and bit him. Justin Fields juked out the entire 49ers defense, bro. Nobody blocked. Everybody just said, "Hey, go!" He only person that hit somebody was Jason Peters.
He cleaned out Warner's clock. My God.
Bro, Daniel Jones had no one around him. It was like Mark Sanchez when he did the butt fumble. You're like, no, nah, I didn't do anything.
Just fell down in the middle.
Just fell down.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It's called being in the words of Barkley, that is unathletic.
Bro, I don't think I've ever in my life been running by myself and just failed without being tripped or clipping my heels on something. You know what I mean? Like, but that's all I got, man. Unless y'all got something, I'm gonna just.
I ain't got nothing, man.
Nah, I'm good, man. Shout out to the listeners, man. Shout out to the people that we doing this for. Shout out to everybody that rocks with us. You know, you know who you are.
Yeah. Shout out to Elise. She's been rocking with
Straight
us
hard. Up.
So shout out, man. But that's all I got, man. It's slow, but we gonna try to keep y'all entertained and keep y'all entertained.
Keep coming with some more. Peace.
Till then, we out.
Y'all take it easy.